greetings this morning in the name of Jesus. Wish you grace and peace from God our Father. I'm not sure Jason was quite truthful when he said I'm ready to share, because I don't know if I am. But I guess the time is here, and it's coming ready or not is the way we used to say. A couple weeks ago, I was asked by two fine young mothers to speak on child training. And disclaimer right from the start is I know that we did not get everything right in our home all the time. I was reminded recently that I was preaching on child training one Sunday, and one of my sons was up here flying airplanes, paper airplanes. So I know I didn't get it all right. So have patience with me in that area. But maybe together we can learn what the Lord has for us today. Turn to Psalm 127. We'll just read the whole chapter here. Psalm 127. Except the Lord, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Parenting can be, or sometimes is, a daunting task. We are... It's a task that is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's one that doesn't quit. And it is a task that most likely most of us will make a mess of it, or at least make a lot of mistakes. I have here, unless we follow the directives of God's word, but, you know, even if we... Well, yeah, we just make a lot of mistakes as parents because we're human. That's not giving us a lot of, that's not making it excuses, but that's just the way it is. We do make a lot of mistakes. You know, after we have done our best, it is still only by the grace of God that our children grow up to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not anything that I have done, that my wife has done, or that any of you have done. It's by the grace of God that our children can embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. The glory belongs to him. It says here, unless the Lord, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, I like the German rendering. I think it makes it a little plainer. It says, if the Lord doesn't build the house, we labor in vain. Now it says here, except the Lord, and it's saying of almost the same thing, but it says, if the Lord doesn't build the house, if the Lord doesn't build my home, it's vain. What good will it do? You know, the Lord Jesus is building our home, and he wants to build our home, and we're but instruments in his hand. It behooves us to do the absolute best we can, because he is depending on us to be his hands and his feet, his mouthpiece 1 Corinthians 2, 12:27 tells us that we are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now, I know this is talking more about the church. It's talking in the setting of the church body. But it also applies, I think, to the home. We become the hands and the feet and the mouthpiece of God, teaching our children about Him. We do what He desires as He directs. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20 says, this is David speaking to Solomon, his son, "Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." And I think that's such a beautiful promise to us as parents, that the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail you, nor forsake thee, until thou hast done or finished all the work that for the service of the house of the Lord. So how do we go about training our children? I'm not sure that I have my thoughts all completely together. I have some, maybe some different thoughts. I probably won't get into a lot of telling our children to pick up the toys, and if they don't, then give a spanking. I'm not going to get into that. That's for you to decide. But I do believe that sometimes it's good for us to have some goals. And I've wrote a couple of them out here. To have some goals as parents for our children, or goals as we raise our children. Make a goal of praying for your children every day. Pray for your children every day. Now, I think that's what Job did. It says he interceded to God for his children every day. You commit them to God, praying for their salvation. Even when they're small, start praying that they can grow up to love the Lord. Pray that God would keep them in the hour of temptation. Pray that God would help them to overcome the trials of life, that God would protect them from evil. Pray. I think it was Joe Wyrick this morning that put on a status that said if Jesus would not have thought that prayer was important, he would have not asked his disciples to pray. And I never thought about that. So even the Lord, he spent hours in prayer. Make a goal of praying for your children. And it doesn't matter if they're small or if they're even bigger. Pray for your children. Sometimes when our children have left home, they're fighting battles that we don't know about. So pray. Pray for your children. Another one is have a goal that as parents, and this is good when you decide to do this while they're small, because it's much easier to do it then than it is in the heat of the moment. As parents, have a goal that you will bless them to serve where the Lord has called them to. That's sometimes a very hard one, because as grandparents and as parents, we like to keep our children kind of like a mother hen. You know, we want to keep them right around us. But decide and have a goal that you would bless them to serve where God called them to, even though it may not be in the same community or even in the lower 48 states. And again, grandparents love to have their grandchildren close by. And yeah, I just bless those grandparents that have grandchildren in faraway places. To me, may the Lord bless you. And I don't know, will our time come that we experience this or not? I trust that we have committed our children that they can serve where the Lord calls them without us trying to hold them back. Another goal is to enjoy the moment of your children. Enjoy the moment right now with your children. You know, sometimes we're so taken up with the cares of life that we think, well, if they would just be a little older, it would be so much easier. Trust me, it's not. It's not. You're busy today because the Lord has put babies in your lap. Tomorrow you're going to be busy because the Lord put school children in your house. Pretty soon it's going to be youth. It doesn't get easier. I don't want to discourage any of you, but that's the way it is. But have a goal to enjoy the moment with your children now. You know, when they're babies, they take a lot more complete care, but you know, you don't have to worry about where they're at. Where you put them, that's where they're at. Unless it's in church where a lot of little wannabe mothers carry them about, then you sometimes don't know where they're at. But yeah, when they get older, you kind of wonder, what are they doing? Where are they at? And it's hard to keep track of them. They zip here and zip there, and they're just all over. And when they're really quiet, it's time to really get worried, because that's when usually trouble starts, or they are in trouble. But as they grow older, you know, you wonder, what are they thinking? Where are they going? Are they open? Are they enjoying life? Are they victorious? But in every stage, there's blessings. Every stage. So enjoy your time now. You know, life is full of hard knocks and hard lessons. Life is full of hard knocks and hard lessons. You know, if I may say this, there's a temptation for mothers to be pretty overly protective. They're overly protective of their children, maybe even overzealously protective, pitying, babying their child to the point that the child doesn't have to grow up. You know, we want to protect our children from evil, but not from life. And there is a difference. There is a difference. Evil is out there. We do not need our children to be involved in evil. We want to protect them from going, being around evil. But we do not want to protect them from life. Life is going to go on. They are going to face hard knocks. They are going to face disappointments in life. They are going to get knocked down sometimes. Life is going to be unfair at times. Life is going to go wrong. There's a lot of painful things that will happen that our children will experience. You know, let's help them work through this instead of just trying to protect them from this. when we protect them, it kind of shelters them, that they're kind of like a tree out in the woods. They're growing, but there's no strength in their roots because they have no opportunity to face the storms of life. And you take all the trees around away from them, the first windstorm is going to knock them right over. Again, we protect from evil, but not from life. You know, when we consistently overprotect our children from life, it's really hard for them to overcome. It's really hard for them to make decisions for themselves because they're always protected by, and I say mom because most of the time it's the mother that is kind of overprotective. Sometimes we as dads are kind of a little bit more hard-hearted. You know, again, when we overly protect our children, they have a tendency to grow up with a poor me attitude because they are facing life and they think it's unfair. Mom is not there to protect them anymore. Then they have to face the storms of life. And forgive me when I pick on the mom. I don't want to, but yet that's, I hope you understand. And this attitude of poor me follows them all through life. Or can. You know, we do our children great harm by being overprotective of life because they never learn to roll with the punches that life deals to them. You know, and also another thing that does is when my child faces a hard knock by somebody else gave my child a hard knock, not necessarily a punch, but when we go up and just, oh, you poor thing, they shouldn't have done that. You know, and you pity them and you protect them. You try to protect them from being this hurt, from this hurt. If they have developed this attitude of what he did was unfair and I am justified in my feeling of being mad at him, being bitter, we kind of solidify his thinking that this is right because we're over, you know, we're just protecting them. Wouldn't it be better to say, yes, they maybe shouldn't have done this, but let's get over it. Let's work through this. You have to forgive. This is going to happen. You know, work through the issue instead of just overly being protective and solidifying the child's mind that what he's feeling, which is wrong, which is he was wronged, he was harmed, he was hurt, he was whatever, that he has a right to feel that way. Okay, let's go on. Have a goal to teach our children to take responsibility for our actions, for their actions. You know, it isn't Sally's fault that my daughter has a bad attitude towards the teacher. It is not Sally's fault. Whose fault is it? It's my child's. It isn't Peter's fault, even though Peter was egging my son on, that my son got a speeding ticket. Whose fault is it? Who was driving the car or truck or whatever? Was it Peter No, it was my son. He was driving too fast, so therefore, the ticket came. You know, I remember as a small boy, living in an Amish community, when my uncle came down to visit, I remember going somewhere, I don't even know where we went, and I told him, I want to go 100 miles an hour. His response was, will you pay the ticket? And I said, oh, sure. The funny thing is, I don't remember him ever doing that, ever going that fast, because he knew who's going to be responsible. He was taking responsibility for his own actions. And that's what we need to teach our children. There is consequences for our actions. And nobody's fault but their own. Now, I know that there's times that at the spur of the moment, things happen. Things get in really fast, and we get kind of caught up in the moment, and we do things that we never would have if we'd had a little bit of time to think about. But even at that time, we need to take responsibility. We need to teach our children to take responsibility. You know, there's many a parent that have bailed their children out of jail because they pitied their child. I mean, I've never experienced that, so I don't know how I would respond. But let's teach our children to take responsibility. I'll just leave it at that. I don't think we do our children any good to continually bail them out. And when I say bail them out, I'm not just saying bail them out of jail. That's not what I'm meaning. But bail them out of trouble, being that buffer zone between him and whoever they did wrong to. We teach them that they need to take responsibility. There is responsibility for their actions, and there's consequences as well. All right, now, parents, I appreciated the devotional. Who was it? Who had devotions this morning? Fred. Thank you. The foundation. How important foundation is. I was going to mention foundation. I didn't for some reason. Then he mentioned the foundation of our life. So the core foundation, of course, is Jesus Christ. And the foundation of Jesus, if we both are the children of God, as parents, we have a wonderful, solid foundation to work off of. But we need to be together in our approach to training children. Amos 3, verse 3 says, can two walk together except they be one, or except they be agreed? Well, if one is pulling this way and another one's pulling this way, guess where the children are going to be? They're going to be torn this way. It's devastating to the children when the parents do not agree. Mark 3, verse 24 and 25 says, if a kingdom be divided against itself, this is Jesus speaking, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. So we need to be together. Be agreed in our approach to child training. You know, the child soon learns to get his or her way because they know which parent to ask or which parent is kind of weak in the area that they want to indulge in. I well remember at home, again, this is as a small boy, My mom, and I don't know if I ever heard my dad say this, but my mom always in the spring when we wanted to go barefooted, she said, "Did you see two bumblebees?" I guess bumblebees were a sign that the warm weather is here to stay. But she said, "Did you see two?" And she was very slow in letting us go barefoot. And we had to ask, too. Today, our children don't even ask. They just go barefoot at any time. But my dad was one of them that, you know, he was working outside, and he was well aware how warm it was. And he was sweating, and you'd go up to him and ask, "Dad, can we go barefooted?" "Oh, sure, but go ask Mom." That's always his answer. "Go ask Mom." Well, we knew what she was going to say. "Did you see two bumblebees?" And it wasn't, you know. But our first try was always Dad, because he was weak in that area. He wasn't quite as strict, let's put it that way. So if we don't want to raise a child that is frustrated, angry, not well adjusted, then be together. It's very frustrating to the child when Dad says one thing and Mom says another. Now, there will be times when Dad and Mom don't agree on a certain subject. We all know that. Or maybe even in the way of dealing with a problem. But discuss those differences in private, not in front of your children. The same goes for church-related issues. Don't discuss your disagreements in front of your children. Parents have done or can do untold damage to their children by freely discussing their displeasure, disagreements with ministry, church, school board, or other brethren in front of the children. You know, the way is difficult enough for our youth without dumping all that garbage on them yet. Excuse me. There is a right way to address the differences in a respectful way without all the bad attitudes and bitter feelings. Privately, come to an agreement and then address the issue together as a unit to the children. Another one is be consistent in your training efforts. This is a very hard one. Consistency. You know, being the same today as we were yesterday or last week. Let's remember Rome, the old saying, Rome wasn't built in a day. It took a lot of sweat, effort, and toil to build the empire of Rome. Isaiah 28, verse 10 says, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little." Our children will not learn everything they need today when we tell them the first time. They won't learn that. They have to be told again and again. We can expect obedience on the level of the child's understanding. You know, there is really a lot of security in a child's life if he knows where the boundary is. If he knows what is accepted, that what was accepted yesterday is accepted today. If they know the boundaries of the do's and don'ts. Don't be over strict one day because you're so frustrated that they're acting up and then relax tomorrow. It's kind of, that is very frustrating to the child. When, you know, he can do something and be doing something. Maybe he's noisy. In our home, we have this rule that duck calls will not be blown in the house. And You know, sometimes you get so aggravated when they just pick up the call, bit, 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 and then they leave. And they're doing it out in the entrance. It's almost out of the house. You know, sometimes you get so frustrated because the noise is there, and it gets on your nerves, especially when it goes on and on and on. It's getting better, I know that, thank God. But it's easy to get all bent out of shape because they're not listening, they're not doing what they should be doing, and then the next time they do it, well, you know, depending on what mood you're in or where you're at, you really don't think about it. That's not consistent. Be consistent. It's probably better to have less rules and consistently teach and enforce them than to have an excessive amount of rules and intermittently, occasionally, enforce them. You know, if you tell a child to pick up the toys, expect them to obey if they, you know, if they understand. Punish them consistently for the same offenses. Now, keep in mind that children will be children. Children will be children. Children have a tendency to forget. That's why it's important to be consistent so that they learn what is expected, accepted behavior. If we're hit or miss in our approach to life, very likely that's the way our children will approach life as well. Now, our children will try the limits of parents. Remember, they are little heathens trying to get their own way. They are. Children are little people without God trying to get their own way. They're little heathens. And our children have a way of making us as parents feel we're really cruel by not letting them do what they want. Have you ever felt that way? I have. I don't think we are cruel by trying to curb their natural tendencies, but they will try to make you feel like you're a cruel parent. You know, our children will not understand why they are not allowed to run in church when all their friends are running around after church. Neither do they need to understand. When they're small, they just need to learn to obey. Our children will also not understand why they need to stay in the auditorium when other children go outside after church. You know, when they're a little bit older, parents have the responsibility to teach their children that bad things can happen when younger boys and girls are unsupervised out in the churchyard, especially after dark. Not good. Colossians 3, verse 21 tells us, Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You know, while we're on this subject of consistency, I guess my plea would be don't aggravate and frustrate your child or your children by cracking down today after church, because you heard about this. That the children shouldn't be running around. If you're not willing to make it a practice next Sunday. You understand what I'm saying? I would encourage that. But don't crack down today and then let them run wild next Sunday, because it's not going to work. It's just going to frustrate them. It's going to aggravate them. It's going to drive them to anger, because you're one day you're really pulling back, the next time you're just letting them go. It's not cruel and unusual punishment to make your children stay by you as a parent. It's not cruel and unusual punishment, even though all their friends are running around. Okay, another thing that we need to maybe teach our children is that there is nothing free in the world. There is nothing free in this world. Even though somebody may give you something and there's no strings attached, there is nothing free in this world, because it costs somebody something. It costs somebody to make that thing free for you. Nobody owes us anything, including parents. Parents do not owe their children a living. Parents do not owe their children that they can start off in life where they left off. They don't owe it to them. Neither does the government owe it to us, to our children. You know, when we work for the things that we have, we will appreciate them much more. We will take better care of them, and we understand that hard work, that it takes hard work to buy something. A story I read recently says a peasant used to say to his children when they were young, "When you all reach the age of 12, I will tell you the secret of life." And the title was, "Cows Don't Give Milk." Now, you may dispute that line, cows don't give milk, but it's true. One day when the oldest turned 12, he anxiously asked his father what was the secret of life. The father replied that he was going to tell him, but that he should not reveal it to his brothers. "The secret of life is this: the cow does not give milk." "What are you saying?" the boy asked incredulously. "As you heard it, son, the cows don't give milk." You have to milk it. You understand? There's a difference. The cow gives milk, but you have to go in and take it and milk it. You have to get up at 4 in the morning, go to the field, walk through a corral full of manure, tie the tail and leg of the cow, sit on a bench, place the bucket, and do the work yourself. The cow does not give milk. You take it. There is work involved. There is this generation that thinks that cows give milk, that things are automatic and free. Their mentality is that if I wish, I ask, and I have to obtain. They have been accustomed to get whatever they want the easy way. But no, life is not a matter of wishing, asking, and obtaining. The things that one receives are an effort of what one does. Happiness is the result of effort. Lack of effort creates frustration. So parents, remember to share with your children from a young age the secret of life. They don't grow up with the mentality that government, their parents, or their cute little faces is going to give them everything they need in life. Remember, cows don't give milk. You have to work for it. I thought that was pretty good, that this father understood the thing of easy life, and he understood the thing that we work for what we have. You know, when everything is handed to our children, they grow up with the mentality that they are entitled to a life of ease. Working for our food, shelter, and possessions becomes a foreign idea. They become ripe for the communistic idea that the government will provide with no thought or idea who is paying for it. Remember, there is nothing free in this life. In closing, I'd like to read two verses in 1 Chronicles 22, verses 11 and 12, and this is paraphrased. This is, maybe I should read the verse and then paraphrase it the way I'd, 1 Chronicles 22, This is the verse. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou. Build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Paraphrase, it says this. And now, my parent friends, the Lord be with thee and prosper thee, and build your home in the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning your home, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Let's kneel for prayer.